Okay, so this is backstage after cash flow 17, and it's February 17th, copyright 2010, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 12:01 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Howdy.
Now, who's got the music? Who's got the music going?
Oh, it's this sneaky non-physical. I just can't stand it.
So it's Ion's TV went on.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's see. He's doing the. He's playing Vestal Goodman.
Here we go. He's gonna play piano along to it. Here we go. You want some of that? We'll do a jam of that.
Excellent.
This is much more fun.
Through it, everybody's enjoyed. That's great. Could you say the words?
Sure.
Yeah, looking for a city. What's the?
You want our version or you want the hymn book version?
Do their version because we can't really. It was too muffled. So just tell us their version first.
Oh, okay. We can do that. No problem. Just a second. Let's see. You start off with. There's three verses actually. Here's how it goes. Now, if we miss a word, just be patient with non-physical.
Okay.
Here among the shadows, and then you have a bass coming in that says living, in a lonely land, with strangers, we're a band of pilgrims on the move. through dangers burdened down with sorrows, and we're shunned on every hand, but we are looking for a city built above. And then, of course, it does the chorus that you're familiar with. Now, second verse. Here in disappointment, often, we so sadly roam, and earthly friends no longer speak one word of love. But truly we have found contentment. Jesus promised us a home, so we are looking for a city built above. Now, third verse. In this land of dangers, we are going here and there. We're simply trusting in the blessed Savior's possessive love and mercy, though we may be strangers living in this world of care, we're always looking for a city built above. Now, the breakdown of the chorus above, oh yes, we're looking for a city, yonder where we'll never die, no, never, and up there with all the saints. Yes, with all the millions, we will never say goodbye. Say goodbye, no, never. Yes, and when we gather there, we'll meet Christ our Savior, glory, and we know we'll meet our loved ones too, friends and all of our loved ones. Now we pray, be quickly come, O Holy Spirit. Pray, thee come, O Spirit, come, O come, on thee we call, and all our hopes renew.
Okay, so that's a wonderful poem, a wonderful lyrics, but a bunch of claptrap in relation to what we need to know or be or love today.
Really?
Not really, but you have spent a lot of time explaining and correcting the implications of what those words. Just looking for a city is not relaxing allowing.
Well, that's what you're doing. No, no, the song is... No. The reason the song has a great resonance is because that's what the human creators are doing. We're not saying... We would say looking for a reason why you have to die. Well, because that's what you're actually doing. You're looking for this answer. You're looking for this question. You're looking at how to take your power as a creator. You're looking how to make this real in your own beingness. You're trying to figure out, as you're roaming through this creation called Earth, that how to find your place and the significance thereof. But if you could come into your non-physical, just like the song said, that ends there with all the millions, you'll never have to say goodbye.
Okay, so we have...
Then it becomes a marvelous, delicious place.
So it's a statement of fact, in a way, the lyrics.
Yeah.
But it's not... Yeah, it's a statement of a condition.
Yes, and then the answer thereof of how you're doing and what you're doing, but then you come into the place... Where as you're looking for a city, then you can find a place where you find your non-physical. Then you can be happy. Then all your askings will be renewed.
Right, so then...
Your dynamics that you're looking for show up.
And if you become ascended, when you do, you will then continue looking for more, and you will carry on with the song, looking for another city. Natural.
Well, looking for finding the place that you have created that allow you to find your bliss and or, i.e., the fastest path to your joy. Very good.
Okay, so now, James, we will let each person, we'll go round robin. You pick a person, let them ask Ian a question or whatever, so state whatever they want.
Okay, well, Robert Roy Smith, you want to head off?
Why, sure. Ian, the thing that really touches me here is that when, you know, because I'm familiar with the Bible a little bit myself, when Jesus says, seek with all your heart, mind, and soul. And, you know, what many of us are seeking is basically a 3D, 4D, 4D place right here now where we have peace and where we have creativity going on.
Now, don't stop there. What was the rest of it? Seek and what and ye shall find.
Right, exactly. That's the most important part.
Sure, and that's the whole point of looking.
Right, and it's like, you know, I'm getting those chills up and down my body, you know, as we're conversing here.
That's your non-physical perking up your physical, that you're coming together in this place of knowledge that you are indeed the creator.
Oh, yes.
Jesus trusted you. Why can't you trust you?
Well, yes. Yes. And, you know, I'm coming into that just like we all are. I mean, you know, that's why we're here. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, we found the seed.
So that's about all I have to say. Let's want to hear what other people have to say here now.
All right, great. Okay, I noticed there was quite a buzz there, 11 minutes, 11 seconds into the call, and I noticed that you mentioned that as well.
I didn't get, what did you say, James, about a buzz?
No, that's actually James' brother. We sound similar. I noticed that 11 minutes and 11 seconds into the call.
That could be James, James from L.A., you mean? Oh, you're just noting the number.
Yeah, the call started, it's now 12 minutes and 18 seconds old. And when who was the first chap that was talking then?
Robert
noticed that he was getting tingles as he was talking. And my eyes got diverted to the screen, and it was 11 minutes and 11 seconds, which seems to be a rather apt set of digits.
Right, so you're...
it's not odd, it's all our ones. It's four ones, and we are trying to get those four ones to be one.
Exactly.
To be one angle. You're trying to align your physical, your non-physical, the labyrinth of your mind to be all engaged in the middle kingdom. And therefore, you still have duality, but it doesn't have to have a dual connotation. And as this connotation comes into your place of resonance, where you don't think anymore, you don't wonder anymore, you know how powerful you are, then all of a sudden... worlds will yield.
Okay, next question, James.
It's great fun.
Yeah. Chad.
Hey, number one.
Chad was the first. Chad was first. Chad, you're in Amsterdam?
I'm pretty close to there right now.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so with regard to that song, the city looking for the city, looking for a city, is that the sum total of our unrealized creations that are in our vibrational
astral? Okay. Yes, it is. It's the acknowledgement that you can't get it done, and it's the acknowledgement of how much fun it is to find it, and the acknowledgement of it, of the process that you go through in joy and bliss as you are enjoying the journey. Life is not a destination experience. People get so heavenly bound that they're no earthly good.
Right, so if life is a journey, not a destination, then would that explain why other worlds are, we're served to think as other worlds as planes, like airplanes?
Yeah, it's easier for you to wrap around that, because when you start talking about multi-dimensions, you start shaking them off the stick, because that's a little more, that's what you'd say in the old school, that's what you'd say, too much sugar for a dime. But if you take it from a planular experience, as in boarding or getting stuck in a plane or on a plane or snakes on a plane, they made a movie about that, we think. From that dimension of a plane, all it is just a different level or capacitor to get you from A to B.
Yeah, okay, one aspect
of what the real planes really are.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jed.
Okay. The one contrast that I've experienced in approaching the activation of a portal is an image of getting hooked into a loop. It's like, let's say, it's 2010, and I want to go portal to an experience that I felt took place in 2009. I get to that point, and when the time aspect comes in, I feel like if I go back to that 2009 point, my experience from then on will continue to just be a loop of going from 2009, 2010, back to the beginning, back 2010.
Right. And the only thing wrong with that it would be the installation of the time element. See, that's why we started from the beginning, is that you created time, and how's it working out for you? Well, not so good. Okay, stop it. Get rid of the time business, and then to have an experience, you don't have a problem with deja vu. That doesn't lock you into this abyss of repetition, repartee. You don't go back to the il est né le divin en fond from that position, do you?
No.
So if you can leave the time out of it, all of a sudden, now we're no longer having that conversation. And to have a speck of an experience, when has that ever been engaged in a timed element? You added the time after the fact. That's the issue. And if you can get rid of the time, then all of a sudden, your scriptures start making sense. These great words start making sense. All the dogma drops away. You've moved karma out of the conversation. You've moved yourself into the place that you're all-knowing, all-powerful, all-beingness, and you come into your power. And that's not a timed experience.
Yeah, Chad, you're not going back to 2009. In your experience, you think it's 2009, but you're just going to a now that's resonating with your now.
Right. Correct. Because you don't attach deja vu with time.
No.
Good. Same way. Good. That's perfect. You can't know. You ask Hetty. She's seen the difference in you.
Is Hetty there, Chad?
Yeah, she's on the call.
Okay, so maybe Hetty could go. Hetty, I didn't get a chance to address your question. We'll do it next week, so you might want to ask something else or that question. I don't know.
Okay, I'll think of something.
Okay, we'll go with someone else.
Hetty? Oh.
Well, Eddie, do you want to go into what you sent me?
I wouldn't mind, yes.
Okay, go into it. All right.
So I had an experience that when I was asleep, catapulted, my non-physical catapulted out of my body. And in such a it felt violent way that it frightened me because I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
And so, as my non-physical jumped out, I could see exactly where I was going as if I was in my physical body. I could see every detail.
Yeah.
And through the hallway, through another bedroom, outside.
Yeah.
It was like I was connected with a cord. So it wasn't like I was going to split apart from my body. I was always going to stay connected with it.
Right.
Initially, because I was so terrified, I was struggling, which didn't allow me to have any control over it and go back to my body. And for some reason, that felt that I had to go back. And then I relaxed, and I almost tricked my non-physical back into my body. And it was I'm not sure what to think about this experience.
Okay, well, thank you. That's great. That was good. That's what we almost just jumped in anyway to do, but we didn't. We can't answer questions that aren't being asked. Here's what's going on. You were not asleep, as you supposed. You were not asleep, as you supposed. But that in the rules and the labyrinth of your mind, that's the only way it could be logical. So in your state of slumber, the anomaly can then be discussed, and people don't think you're weird. Because you humans get real weird about that, so we don't know why, but you do. But it's okay. It's called, in the simplest way, in words that you've heard before that you can embrace, it's not exactly like this, but it's so close you can't tell the difference. It's called astral projection.
Right.
When you go to slumber, okay, you're resting right now. You don't require sleep. What's the sleep aspect of your body allows your physical quieting of your mind to allow your body to basically have a disconnect from the brain, okay? That's, and you know you're there when you're achieving REM, rapid eye movement, in that deeper theta wave length of sleep, of slumber within your mind. It's kind of like when you back up your computer system or defrag your computer. Mm-hmm. You can't really do a lot of other processes while you're defragging your hard drive, correct?
Right.
And you can do some limited things. It still keeps time. It still does things. But you can't, like, be downloading programs while you're defragging your hard drive, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Good. Okay, same way with your slumber. All right, now, your non-physical isn't bound to your body, but your body is bound to your non-physical.
Okay.
Because your non-physical has no limits, no boundaries. So therefore,
right,
the cord that you were speaking of was indeed the connection between the non-physical and the physical. But what you were experiencing, the terror, if you can become very, 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 very sore in your physical body, if you push against or fight the process of allowing your non-physical to roam, it's not a problem. But if you fight against it, you ever gone to bed some nights and get up and feel like you've been chopping cotton all night?
I'm sure I have.
Well, that's what's happening, is when you push against that. And
right,
your body will be sore, tense, tight.
But so
have you ever had a sorry horse? You ever had a
yeah,
sorry horse in your leg?
Well,
that's
definitely
the same thing.
Right.
That's the same thing. That's the
but
same
so
thing.
Why,
when you trip it up, when you trip up, it'll show up that way.
So why did it come out so abrupt? Why did it feel like such a violent initially experience?
Because it was a bit foreign to you.
Right.
But now
and
all
so,
of a sudden you know what it is and it's no big deal. Do you understand how violent a sneeze is?
Absolutely.
Do you understand your heart actually stops beating while
yeah,
you sneeze? Do
yeah,
you understand that it is practically an impossibility to leave your eyes open while you sneeze?
Yeah.
But once you've sneezed a few times, you don't think that your brains are going to come out your nose, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the very first time you sneeze.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can even make you pee a little bit, can't it?
So I've heard, yeah.
Well, indeed. And then what happens is once you come to that place, you realize that's the most significant thing that happens in my physical bodiness. That's as close as you are to transition ever until you actually transition. But if we were having a discussion paralleling sneezing and astral projection, it wouldn't be quite as violent. It wouldn't be quite as overcoming. It wouldn't be quite as quaky, shaky, why did I have this violent reaction to it? Because
right,
once you sneeze a few times, just like astral projection, once you do it a few times, it becomes very normal.
That's actually another question, because since then I've tried to do it.
Can't try.
I tried. I never got
need,
there.
Need. Yeah, need.
So how can I? Right. But so
yeah,
what's a good way for me to get into that mode, to allow myself to astral project?
Do it like Bob does it. You know how Bob does it? We love Bob. You know how Bob does it? Nah, we not gonna have no astral projection. It's a bunch of tomfoolery. What are you talking about? There ain't no such a thing. Bunch of foolishness. What are you talking about? That's just your mind running around craziness and rah, 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 and never give it another thought and let it go and let it be. And then it shows up again in your experience time and time again. And then
okay,
you go,
Sam.
Nah, that was just a fluke. That couldn't really happen. I don't know what this is. I don't know. You can't know nothing. You can't ask nothing. You can't ever get anywhere. It's just one rabbit hole after another rabbit hole. And boy, you figure out three or four things, and then you find out that it didn't have anything to do with anything anyway. And there you go. And everything in his world shows up exactly as he asked for it.
All right.
Things show up in his experience. Things show up in his experience that are impossible. And he doesn't know or care.
All right. I have absolutely no problem doing that. I'll go for that. Give it a whirl.
But now, we're not saying that's for everybody. That's just what works for Bob. Typically, you 3-2-1 it. Ask the question. Let non-physical work it out for it. And if you have any other fears or pains or things that come out of it, redefine it. redefined.
Right.
It's how you got to the Netherlands anyway, isn't it, honey?
That's right.
Well,
too.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. Too sweet.
Thank
Good.
You.
Good. That's fun. Okay, Bob, it's your turn. We don't ever get to talk to Bob. It's like,
I know. Oh, okay, Hetty, I want to thank you for the YouTube. I don't think JW's seen it yet. I've said it to him, but it was great that you walked through the market. And Ireland's song, The Entertainer, came through that we feature on the website. Anyways, we liked it. And can you send more, Hetty, when you go south?
I sure will, yeah. Yeah, the timing of that was so perfect, of course.
Yes.
I obviously had to send it.
That's very good. Okay, James, put us on to a new person.
Okay, Scott.
Hi there. My question is this. So, do I understand this correct? I am the cause of my current experience. Is that correct?
The cause of what?
Am I the cause of my current experience?
Yes. You are the creator of it.
And when did I start creating my experience?
Before it showed up in your reality.
Am I ever conscious of creating my experience, or does it just happen because of my innate thought patterns?
No, you're just tangling it up. We're not being mean. You're just tangling it up a little bit. Ease off the gas a little bit, because you can know something without having the empirical reference regarding it, can you not?
Yes.
Well, some can't. That's the reason we ask. But some says, no. I want the proofs and the pudding. I want it.
Okay.
And otherwise, it can't be. That's the problem we have with science. No, we love science. Mm-hmm. Science proves everything that isn't, and that's what you end up with.
So okay.
But, you know, I get Scott's point.
Yes.
I get Scott's point. I've asked you this before. How do we... We don't seem to be aware, touch this creating process that happens. Right, Scott? That's what you're getting at.
Exactly.
Okay, but you don't have to get it. That's the point. See, the point is in your human creativeness. Okay, can we give you an example?
Yep. Yes.
Okay, JW has a meat set in a non-physical, okay? And he likes all kinds of things, pushes against nothing. Well, when he allowed us to engage, lots of strange, funny things started happening. Well, he pushed against none of those things, and then these little things started showing up. Odd things, abilities that he didn't have before started coming forth. And he didn't push against those and say, no, we can't do that, or no, it's not possible, or no. He just went with it. And as he went with it, things showed up kind of like something like this. Let's try this. Then you see, it shows up. And you can run with it, you allow it. Then you can do things that you can't do. But if you have a problem with that, then you might get lost. And you can't come back. And you can't get there from there. And you can't get back there. And then it becomes less than, and then you get confounded with these things that aren't your ability. But if you didn't have that, and you just did it, it wouldn't matter. But then you wouldn't wonder if something was in your creation that you didn't create, because it wouldn't matter. It would antimatter.
Yeah. So Ion, if non-physical is bigger, my non-physical is bigger than my meat sack. I can't.
Well,
touch
faster. It's faster.
Okay.
Faster.
You mean V or F? V faster or
V?
V. Okay, so
faster.
Right, now let's, I know my words are not adequate, but we'll try this. I can't feel my non-physical in terms of the chemical sensory mechanism, but if I believe or know that it's really doing things, then that is what is creating me, and that's why I don't apparently feel it, but it manifests. Something like that?
Huh. So, when you have an orgasm, are you not aware?
Yes, I'm aware.
Okay, well, is that strictly your meat sack getting you to that place of coitus?
Probably not.
Oh. Okay,
so see, that's me. My words set up a division between the physical and non-physical. But this is what we're trying to get at. Forget it. Sorry I brought it up.
You're good. Because that dynamic, it's valid, and the reason it's valid is because it's on the floor. Meaning, it's being brought up. So it's significant for no other reason than that. It's very possible that sometimes you allow your meat sack through the labyrinth of your mind to categorize everything that's taking place within your physical beingness when much, 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 much more is going on. Do you understand that there's air most every part of the planet that you go to? That you don't have to plan for air if you travel? That you don't have to wonder if in the front yard or the backyard you have more or less oxygen? Your non-physical works all that out for you. And you may not understand or feel it, but if you went in your front yard and there was no oxygen, we tell you before Sovereign God, you, that you'd notice it.
Yeah, so
is this what is meant by faith?
Say it again, sorry. Scott. Do that again.
Is this what is meant by having faith?
Is he saying faith?
Faith, F-A-I-T-H.
Well, no. Faith, if you don't have feet, will just confound you. We're not big believers of faith. Because faith means you're less than and it won't allow it into your experience. And that you've got to take someone else's word that it is. Okay. We say it can be in your knowing, and you don't have to have faith if you've got it.
I like that.
You see? If you've got it, you don't have to wonder if your faith is big enough to allow it. You see? If your desire is money or resources or abundance, and you have abundance, then you don't require faith to have abundance because you've already got it.
Okay, let's go
now,
on to the next one. Go ahead, Ion.
Sorry.
Or Scott, someone says...
We could go on and on and on. There's lots of topics. We'll go with y'all.
But we should give everybody a chance. We can give...
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, track. Keep going.
Pam, you're up next.
Who?
Oh, did you say Pam?
That's you, Pam, yes.
Okay, great. Two things. I am so ready to be contrastlessness after all the drama I've experienced the past couple of years. So I wanted to ask about how you reach that. And I would totally dig... live like Anastasia and have little animals bring me nuts. But of course, like, I still want to go out and eat and drink and stuff, but I would like that as another option to feel. So how do I reach this next level?
By relaxing and allowing, giving it no concern.
Just stating that.
And your ovaries, will respond in kind.
And the little animals will then show up at my doorstep?
Sure, Carolyn created a whole fleet of moths.
Of what? Did he blip out? Who got knocked out?
Hang on. I did. Pam did.
No, Pam, you're still on.
Okay, so Ian, I didn't hear it. You said Carolyn created a whole what?
Flock of monarch butterflies that are just worrying her to death.
They're worrying her? Nah.
Yeah, and she enjoys them completely.
Yeah, I walk among them every morning.
And they're great. She creates them, and you get to enjoy them.
Yeah, and okay, so that's an example for Pam. But how did she? She just ordered it, and it happened.
Right, and she didn't care if it did or didn't. And there was no contrast in her reality regarding it. She was okay with them or without them. She just thought, wow, that'd be great fun and neat to have a big flock of butterflies anytime I want them around me. And nothing else. No other, oh, am I going to take the butterflies away from the other side of the island? Oh, is this going to cause a problem if I have too many butterflies in my world and someone is going to be less than because they don't have the butterflies pollinating the flower? She didn't go through all that crap. She said, I want all the butterflies. Right here, right now. Come on, butterflies. She's such a selfish, marvelous creator. She didn't even give it 1 second's thought.
Thank you.
And that's how you do it, when you don't care to do it.
Now, Pam, what I understand...
And the same with the cotton getting...
Pam, what I understand from my end is you want a contrastless experience. That's in the non-physical. Contrast is enjoyable. So you don't want contrastlessness.
Yeah.
No, well, I don't want the drama.
You don't want the drama. Well, that's your interpretation.
You don't mind the... Hold on. You don't mind the problems, Pam. You just want the solutions to show up faster. Or at least as fast as the problem does.
Exactly, like instantaneously.
Yeah. Otherwise, you'd never get a new pair of shoes. So, the new shoes are cool, so that's appropriate. But you just got to soften it just a little bit and not make it such a big difference between you and you. And when you do that, then all of a sudden it all comes together, and then you get happy wherever you are. You're happy with, you're happy without. You allow the ebbing and the flowing of your mind to peaceably allow everything that is your desire to seamlessly show up into your experience. And when you do that for a little bit, all of a sudden that becomes normal. And then, like Carolyn, she would be more shocked if she went out and the butterflies weren't there, rather than actually continually replicating butterflies that are in her experience. Because for her, happy is normal.
Right.
And if there's the tiniest little bit of contrast for Bob, put on the brakes, stop. This far, no further. No. We got to deal with this right here, right now. No. We're on it. And then there's the tiniest little thing he gets to deal with immediately, so it never comes into this great big nasty thing.
Right.
Good.
So I have to want the animals to come feed me nuts like Anastasia, but really not care if they do.
Right. Either that or just have a live-in maid. That'd do it too, wouldn't it?
No, I'd rather have a little animal do it.
Well, okay. Just don't make any rules regarding it.
Yeah.
And you be happy and grateful and eat whatever they bring you.
That's right.
Okay, next, James.
Okay, we have Angela.
From Ireland?
No.
Hey, Angela.
Yes.
This is not, I never did this before. Do it.
And you guys hear us. James, you have an echo.
A bit of an echo on Angela, but just ask Angela to speak a little louder. We hear her, but it's a little faint.
Yep. All right. You know the similar system on the infinity program of reality, when you go from minus one to plus one all the way to 12, up to the into the center point neutral, up to the next level, and then you start making like geometric pattern design things. What you do is neutralize patterns. Like, you know, you're end up making the different shapes, so it's the geometric, like, you can
That's fine. Don't tangle that up with the grid. With the lines, because see, the grid's been reconfigured. So the grid and the different angles that are coming about, it's changing. Well, actually, it's the same. Here's what's happening. You're changing. You're noticing those angular influxes that are a variation of what you have previously accepted as is. So your is being.
Yeah, because there's no binary code anymore. It's just
Yes, that's right. And that's the way it's always been. Only and now you're able to figure it out.
Yeah, that's the anomaly.
Yes,
that's the right word. Yeah, so the signal system is finished then. Is it?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. The heavens are rejoicing. And yes, it's all done. Good.
Yeah, and guess what? The autism program was done in the transhuman world in like 2017 somewhere. And it was done from a child sitting on top of a man. And we're doing the pinout system rocking on the 365-year loop on the other side. And they initialized the program and the pinout system's over there. The hardest working of them all, and lost and all that kind of stuff, and they're all after getting like deactivated from their.
See, that starts having an effect on the inner kingdom. When that starts affecting the inner kingdom, that's when it starts becoming alive. Good.
Yeah, and now they can run around and everyone actually understands what they're saying.
Of course. And other ones as well.
Yeah.
That's when it gets to be fun. Sorry?
Where do you drive this thing? Like, any recommendations on the awareness system, Quincy? Or fast freewheeler?
No, it's okay. You brought it up. But we'd say be very genteel until you get comfortable with the newness, because just like, remember Hetty, who had the small experience that was kind of violent within her system? Be soft with it until you sneeze a few times and get comfortable with it.
Not to drive polarity too strongly.
I mean, if you want to overcome gravity, jump up and down, okay?
Yeah,
you don't have to jump off a ravine. Yeah.
No. Or you can just ask the room to do it, and then you lift up.
Yes. Allow it in your experience.
And you know the anime objects actually, like, serious, because in the transhuman world, were actually, like, created by different creators, and they actually have conscious
people. That is absolutely correct. It's exactly right. And you can draw them and repel them from your presence.
Yes. And, like, with people, crowds, or all that kind of thing.
Very good. Now, it's just like this conversation that we're having, many of the other participants were having issue with being able to understand because of the connection. But see, you're non-physical speaking to us, so we got it fluidly, flowingly clear, and we hope the recording picked up your words so it could be easier understood. But let's ask the crowd. Did everyone else have an issue with understanding the words?
No, she was good.
Oh, I had no idea what she was saying.
Right. It was a break.
We're Irish, so maybe that's what I say.
No. This was within the connection.
Okay.
It was within the connection.
Okay. Well,
But we didn't have any problem because we didn't require the Skype to even have the communication. But that break is sometimes where the humans get crossways with their creations that sometimes don't allow it clear. That's the example that we're making right here. And once you tune into the non-physical part of you that's you, you can find a way to hear it clearly anyway.
Yes. We'll have to change your laws in reality to allow that so no one gets in trouble.
And know that all the power begins and ends with you.
Everyone's individual is fulcrum.
Yes, on the fulcrum of the balance of place. Yes, it's wonderful. It's liberating.
Okay, James. Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you, Angela. Who's next, James?
Thanks, Angela. We got Stephen.
Okay.
Hey, Stephen.
Hello, Stephen.
You disconnected?
He's got no mic. Okay, fine.
Maybe he's just
asking a question. Let's see. We'll see what he's got to say. he wants to go into percept versus concept.
Yeah. A concept
A concept is a con. A percept is an engagement. A precept is one that you're fixing to allow within your kingdom.
Is it the precept you're fixing to allow a concept or percept in your kingdom?
Correct. Both. Either.
Both.
You get
both.
The cube.
Okay.
That's your duality. That's your cubed root of eight, Bob.
Yeah. Cube root of eight. We were talking to Ian about this privately last night. There are three kingdoms, the inner kingdom, the outer kingdom, and the middle kingdom, and each has a duality. So that's three, but each one having two. So it's two cubed, which is eight. And then you put eight on its side, it's infinity. Anyways, that's what Ian's referring to.
That's the only way. Sorry.
Go ahead.
That's an easy way. That's an easy way to wrap around the concept. Now, those aren't the most perfect words, but they'll do till you can ask better.
Yeah, and you're saying the concept is a con.
Yeah. A concept is one that's unproven that may not be right. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a concept.
But the mind creates...
That's an interesting concept.
Yes, and the mind creates concepts for as contrast.
And cons.
And yes. Cons. Okay, James, next person.
So I guess the correct way to do it would be an X concept. is that on parole or not?
Go ahead, James.
Then he's gone into concept equals metaphor, question mark.
Yes, concept equals metaphor, good. It is, I think I know.
Where a percept is, I think I know.
Mm-hmm.
A concept is, I think I know.
I think I know. Good, that was very good. Who's next?
Let's see, I think we've gone around the table. Speak up if you haven't spoken. Yeah. Hush, go for it.
What did you say, James?
My brother's here.
Oh, okay, Roger can speak?
He sure can.
Okay.
They just sound very similar. I'm not really one for questions. I like to think they're more ideas. Well, therefore they are, obviously. You're talking about for infinity. Obviously, that's replicated throughout the universe on a multiverse level, which suggests that the multiverse requires polarity, maybe so it doesn't become stagnant in a deal with it like a symphony. It requires new notes, happy accidents, etc., etc. So, anyway, this section of the infinity loop is obviously more ego and maturely orientated. And obviously that's been achieved by hogging the psychic bandwidth through drill-based solar occult shenanigans across the planet. I'm about to chip in here. Jesuits are interesting.
Here's what you're missing. Or not missing, it's a marvelous, actually very articulate concept. Couldn't be further from the case unless the human creator wanted to engage it that way. If you take the infinity sign, the left and right, if it's laying the eight laying on its side, what the symbol does not display or convey is that those egg beaters that Carolyn was speaking about earlier, where you're holding the egg beater on each side, is that those egg beaters, each loop of that infinity loop is indeed spinning. One is clockwise, one is counterclockwise. Like a centrifuge, if you had two centrifuges back to back, they're turning the same way, but yet one's going clockwise and one's going counterclockwise.
Is that right?
When you add that mix, all of a sudden the occultness or any debenture that puts you in a unknowing place can very easily be answered because it's being undone as quickly as it's being done. So it leaves no room for...
We've been conned into accepting light and dark, i.e. Vesica Pescus.
Yeah. Well, as we said that in a show or so ago, why don't you call it a dark switch? It turns the light off as many times as it turns it on, and yet you call it the light switch, not the dark switch.
Exactly.
Yes. But that's not an occult reference to undo, to make the inky, misty darkness come and take you over. It's just the way you eliminate the emittance of the light from its source. Good. There's no problem with that.
Can you elaborate perhaps what the Jesuits, what sort of role they've had to play in the way that various cultures have developed in the last 2,000 years?
Sure. Their place of being always came from the dogma attachment of the creator and the deity of that you're less than. And because you're less than, you can never achieve. So the best you can hope for is a sinner who's saved by grace that you have extended, and all have sinned and fallen short of the grace and glory of God. But now the point of that is that once you attach the dogma to that, the penalty phase of your judgment, then that steps into a rules and regulations that are not what Christ actually said. They're not what your scriptures actually conveyed. Then it becomes a separatist. No difference than what Adolf Hitler tried to do. So now we've got a problem, Houston.
Last thing I'd like to address is I find just in general when I engage in conversations which lead into any sort of area under this umbrella or poet, that it just seems a lot of dark in the notion of looking for answers outside of their in the world, as it were, not realizing that the actual consciousness is the key factor.
Hi, yourself.
You're live, Robert.
Yes.
Sorry, go on. Good boys. Could you hear that right on?
Well, yeah, the issue is
sorry, Robert. I'm speaking different.
No, let me just
oh, sorry, I've just added Robert to people.
Yes.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, how are you doing, sir? Hey,
can I
ask you a question?
Hang on. Say hello, Robert to Ion.
Hi,
Ion. Let me tell you one of the... is something that just is the next step of my joy. I mean, and I really do appreciate on the program when you and James and Bob are laughing. Like, I find myself laughing greatly, and sometimes it's like I'm so sure of that connection, you know, of that connection with the non-physical during that time. And, you know, like one time I remember that... I was laughing so hard with some people that I had, you might call an astral projection outside of my body just from that. It just seemed like that the laughter wipes out all the doubt somehow. And I just wanted to tell you how much I thank you for that wonderful humor.
It's great, because guess what? What happens is your non-physical finally gets a chance.
Yeah.
You can laugh so hard that you cry. You're getting your attaching. God is a symbiote host that you're going to let this icky, nasty, non-physical take over your beingness. Your non-physical could care less. Your non-physical just wants you happy, wants you
right.
in bliss. And everything
right.
you can do to get yourself in that bliss becomes normal. And then
right.
if you take Dr. Carolyn Dean, anything outside of that, she ain't going to have it. She's used to everything working out for her. And the only time you're having a different conversation is if it's somehow for a moment... I mean, a fleeting moment, but it doesn't. And that's
yes.
only letting her know that there's conscious that she's going to adjust and go, well, I have two ways to think about this. I can laugh it off or I can cry. Well, what's crying going to do? It will still be there. Or I can laugh through it and all of a sudden the solution shows up. And it's kind of like, oh, never mind, I got it. It's kind of like Rosanna Dana on your Saturday Night Live. It's all twisted up on this conversation of something that's misinterpreted, and then when they straighten it out, and then she says, oh, never mind.
Right. Well, I am...
Like that.
You know, also, you're a piano player. Like me, I'm a piano player.
Well, actually, what happens is that J.W. has very, 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 very limited skills on the ivory. Very limited. But he doesn't care that came into his experience. So lots of fun things happen.
And that's exactly what I used to teach my students.
You can't find the notes, but the music can find you.
Exactly. Precisely. And, you know, I played professionally for a number of years, and what I found was that there was a certain point when a certain connection was made between myself and with the audience listening that...
That distance between D and G flat?
The distance between me and me. Yeah, exactly. And I found myself migrating to various tonalities that seem to have a healing. It works, you know.
Okay.
So,
well, it broke in there. It broke, but we heard we couldn't. It was all broken, but that's okay because we got it. It is. And do you know when it became apparent to you that that was the case? When you started navigating through half step modulation.
Exactly.
That's when it became real. Because if you just go at a half step at a time, you knew you could get there.
That's right. And it's like sometimes in between the half step.
Yeah,
how do you do that on a piano?
Well, Aretha Franklin did it. She made her own way.
Mm-hmm.
She made her own way. She could do a half step modulation.
Yeah.
She could split a C sharp better than anyone.
Right. Right,
and so,
you know,
she doesn't even know how she does it.
Of course not. That's the best part.
And doesn't care to know. And doesn't care to know. He said, I learned a little in church, and the rest of it, I made it up as I went along. And then it became mine.
Well,
and when it became mine, I don't have to worry about copyright.
Exactly.
Because nobody else can do it.
Here's the thing. I started out. Learning classical music, you know, and then, you know, it's like I could play Chopin and Bach and all this, okay? So at some point I said, I don't like this. I'm going to take a step in my own direction. And so I would sit down, turn off my mind about everything I knew about music and just let the music come out through my fingers. And when I started doing that, first it was gibberish, you know, I mean, it was musical gibberish. But gradually something started to come out, and I was just amazed. I was kind of sitting back listening to it. And so that's when I finally developed you might call a jazz style, you know, that I use.
The same thing happens when JW finds the opportunity to listen to some of the stuff that we do. He's kind of like, wow.
Yeah, you amaze yourself,
wow.
Right. You amaze yourself.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like, wow, that was fun.
Exactly.
So it's just that
simple. Right.
Simple.
Yeah. And, you know,
very, very good.
Where the real fun is in the communication, because you can sense as a musician when you're playing for people when they are, you might say, attuned, and when they're not. You see what I'm saying? And when they are attuned, you can go in there, and I don't know what you want to call it, laying on of hands. Even, I mean, it's like. It's just an amazing, amazing thing. It's like there's something about that attunement that takes place. You know, it's just that they begin to, they're in the rhythm and they're in the tone. And somehow it's like you're in their mind and they're in yours. And you're happy about it.
That's because that's right. And the reason that you resonate with that is because that's timing.
Exactly.
Timing we don't have any problem with. It's when you attach time to it. That's when everything kind of goes terribly wrong.
In the proper timing, there is no time, right?
Exactly. It's how many notes can you fit in a measure?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then that varies, doesn't it? So there's no limit. So that would be like saying, well, I want 70 seconds in a minute rather than 60. And I want it in 12 four times.
And all of it. Probably, yeah.
It's fun. Now, Roger.
Yeah, I'm a musician, and the music that my band predominantly makes is it's quite repetitive on an initial listen, but we do get a great enjoyment out of escaping many a times sort of gravity, as it were, And
yeah,
I think that's what you're getting at there, Robert. Zach, do you want to check out my band? It's called French Rockets. Quick plug. Sorry about that. I'm not sorry about that. You might like the music, Robert. But yeah, I think repetition and sound is very interesting.
You allow yourself to get outside of yourself.
Exactly.
And that is never repetitious. That's always invigorating. But sometimes you have to do it a few times, like the sneezing, before you gain a level of comfort regarding it.
Precisely.
Well, and I really like that comparison you make with sneezing, because I learned how to sneeze. I finally learned how to sneeze. I learned that the pain that comes from sneezing is when you try to hold it back. You know, I mean, that's when it's really painful. But I learned that if you just let it out, it doesn't necessarily come out as horrible as you think it's going to.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Same way with astral projection, clairaudience, clairvoyance, telekinesis.
They're all the same thing, aren't they, really?
They really are.
You split up all these psychic phenomena, so-called, into these different remote viewing, and you have clairvoyance, clairaudience, and psychokinesis, and all these things. But they're all the same thing, aren't they?
They're varying degrees of that experience that you can be, do, or have, and allow. And the only reason that they're anomalous is because not everyone has it as a mean, or your damned printing press has a cram down everybody's throat to say that everybody has this. Maybe
right.
Bob, why can't we make the printing press say it in such a way to where everybody gets it, and then you don't have to have the printing press anymore?
Yeah.
All right, I'll take
us
to Bob.
Bobby there.
What happened to Bob?
He may be muted.
Well, that's okay. He's
seemingly online, but see, no, he's online. I don't know where he's gone. Oh, maybe he's
muted.
I'm here.
I'm here.
Did I have it on mute, Carol?
Yes.
Anyways, I heard everything really good. I just let it flow. Did I address me about the printing press?
Yes.
What did you say? You want to have the printing press so it doesn't impose its pattern?
No, we want to use the negativity of the printing press to put the mean into the correct context and cram it down everyone's throat and make sure that they get it the right way and then destroy the first version of the entity.
That's right. Ion's the last intellectual, the last ideology. We cram it down everybody's throat and then we burn the book.
That's exactly right. You won't catch us repeating gossip, so you better be sure and listen close the first time.
But the printing press does present the gossip in print forever.
And becomes a validator for this gibberish that people attach as truisms.
Right, that's what's so great. I'll address this to everybody. Is that Ion understands Finney's Wake, because Finney's Wake is pure gibberish, and it's the last book, and Joyce is letting everybody be freed from the printing press, because he did the greatest novel, Ulysses. Time Magazine said that, you know, many years later, and then he did Finney's Wake to cancel the effect of Ulysses, and Ion's here to explain that, and maybe have, we'll call Ion's book the last book, and it's a postscript, it's a P.S., it's an addendum to all that Joyce did, and McLuhan understood. So, it's perfect. If you know Finney's Wake, that's
eternal.
Music.
Would that be the eternal epilogue, Bob?
Yeah, eternal epilogue. That's good, yes. An eternal epilogue.
Language is capable of multi-layeredness, because, you know, like you take great poetry, or you take this, it's like... it becomes a symbol, you might say, that takes one deeper. You know, it's like some people try to read the Bible like a New York Times, for example. That doesn't work.
Right. No, you're right. The acousticness of language, the book, so the book seems to reduce the multi-level meanings, and you get normal prose. So Joyce brought back multi-level meanings for every word he wrote, and showed it on the page, so it looked to the eye like it was gibberish,
But he was showing the resonance and acoustic nature of speech and language, making the point you just said.
Yes, in other words, added the dimensionality to it.
Yes, the dimensionality that always was there, but the printing press suppressed.
Yes.
It pressed.
And so therefore, everybody tries to read everything like a New York Times, and it don't work.
That's right.
Yes.
And others
take the New York Times, and they try to diagram the sentences. That doesn't work either. Others spend all day, every day, running an exegesis on the scriptures and find themselves befuddled beyond reproach.
Yes.
That doesn't work either. So good.
That's right.
And another aspect of the thinning of the veil is that nobody's buying the New York Times anymore.
Well, sure, that's the reason why.
Yeah. Because we're so mutated by the post-electronic situation that print has become anemic. And that's what McLuhan predicted. And there's a service to that. McLuhan wasn't against books, but he said we should understand what they do to us. Then we can play with them. So books are the archetypal contrast. And the more you understand that, then the contrast of books is diminished. That's never been said before, right, Ion?
Yeah, well done, Bob. That's correct.
Yes.
Okay, is there someone like Pam or...
Okay.
How about Pam or... Did Robert have his time, or is that another Robert?
Everyone's had a question. I'll chime in, maybe.
Okay.
So, Jonah, it's your turn, yeah? Yeah, I was going to say these are some of the best nouns to end time eternal right now. This is awesome. Thanks for everyone for joining in. I was going to bring in Zappa, but Bob, what do you think?
Sure,
bring in Zappa.
Oh, you mean bring him in through Ion?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can Frank join us?
Zappa the middle side of beef art wouldn't hurt.
Yeah. Okay, ask him a question, James. Zappa's there.
Oh, okay. Hello, Zappa. Do you give more regard to particular compositions and bands, or to your music as one song? One repetitive riff that has never been completed. Is that what he referred to as his conceptual continuity? That is correct.
Sorry, Jenny.
Who's that?
Bob. Nick.
If it never neutralizes your results, you just continuously create and take this, or you're creating power using such a negative polarity. You'll have to neutralize.
That is correct. It's correct. And the rift is achieved from the space, from the chords that are broken.
The rift is achieved. Did you say the rift is achieved?
The rest.
Yeah. Oh, the rest.
Rift. Yeah.
No, R-I-F-T?
Yes.
Yeah, the rift.
I think that means rift. Rift. Music. Rift. Rift, yeah.
You're talking about the riff writing, how the universe is created. The rifts are whatever Ion just had said.
No, the bars on the guitar that make the chords that are broken.
Yeah. Are you not referring to riff writing? Are you referring to riff writing, Ion, or riffs as in guitar riffs?
Well, we're Zappa, and no, we're not guitar riffs.
Sorry, Ion, this is great.
Zappa, can you talk about teamwork?
Well, it was a mistake that we made something out of.
Okay. Is that why you worked with Mr. Beefheart on Trapmaster Replica?
Yes, indeed. And probably what ushered in Moon.
Oh, you got a question.
I'm not... he's saying that teamwork was a mistake? Is Zappa saying
that? Yes.
Zappa, were you saying that teamwork was a mistake?
It was an afterthought. We messed up and tried to gain out of it what we could get, and it worked.
That's what we call the mother. We call them, that's the mothers of invention. And it's true, you broke up the mothers in the summer of 69, and then you went and worked as a manager for Beefheart and helped produce that album. Okay, I don't have any more questions. I've done a lot with Frank privately. It's too much to go into, but if anybody has, you got those musicians. Do they have a question for Frank?
Plenty. What would Zap think about drum music? Bands like My Bloody Valentine, Sonic Youth, just to put it in context, using the guitar as a different type of paint, instead of a riff, they actually have a whole blanket of sound. What do you make of those sort of
things? You mean like ELO and G?
Electric Light Orchestra. Remember ELO, Electric Blade Orchestra?
I know. ELO is more like a soft progressive rock band.
But yes, that's the whole dynamic that ushered in what you call the crazy rage that made folks embrace our music the first time. Didn't have that.
Zappa wasn't particularly interested in music that's very popular that way, but was interested in, say, things like Indian music where instruments are not put in a competition.
We love Gregorian chants.
I know he likes his 12-tone music, but as far as other forms of world music, did that interest him at all?
Yeah,
he lists Ravi Shankar on the first album. But just, he's making a good point, Robert. The ELO and the Genesis and that early mid-70s corporate rock, the punks reacted to that. And that's what Frank is saying here. It brought in the drone, the rage.
Exactly. Rave.
Well, rave is technically later. But the ELO, to say that you go drone, you ask about drone, Robert, and he says, you mean ELO? That's correct, because ELO caused the drone, because the drone was a reaction to ELO.
Of course.
That's what Frank meant. I just want to make that point. And the next thing you're saying, Frank, what? Robert, what was the next thing?
Oh, Zappo, Frank, what is music?
The absence of cohesive response.
Very good. And what about resonant intervals?
The lines and spaces between the parts you couldn't figure out.
Okay. Any more questions? Frank, I'll ask Mr. Zappa, is it true that you actually stopped playing drum kits because your feet were not adequate? And does that mean you're a pretty average dancer?
Well, rhythm is in the eye of the beholder, and many didn't think we had the capacity to keep up.
So you'd rather be sitting down with a pen?
Because we didn't care.
What, Frank, I find it ironic that I would say you were a greater musician for me than Bob Dylan, but you passed on, and Dylan now is becoming the archetype of the boomer generation. And you had slight involvement with Dylan. I was wondering what you thought of how Dylan has worked out his music.
Well, cohesively, because it keeps changing.
Yeah.
He never could stick with the role and make it his own.
That's right. Always
had to vacillate to what the newest, well, what did you call the chitterling meme?
The what meme?
Didn't care. Didn't matter to us.
You blipped out. What was the meme, James? The chitterling meme?
Chitterling? I didn't get it.
Chitterling meme.
There you go.
Yeah, chitterling. Yeah, no, that's an accurate description of Dylan. He always changed. He hated staying in one role. And he was responding, you're saying, to what was happening. So he was similar to...
Rather than making it his own. See, it was important for him to make it. We didn't care.
Actually,
we were surprised we did. It didn't matter to us. I was just doing what I did. And if you like it, good. And if you didn't like it, sorry.
And if you got elected president, would you have gone through and sat in the prison?
Well, we probably couldn't pay. Yeah, okay.
You probably couldn't what?
Taking the cut and pay. I'm forced to take the cut and pay.
You did say in interviews that you would run, that you had cancer, but you were talking about running for president, and you said you would just run up making yourself available for interviews. That's all you would do. You'd do it from your home, which is what McLuhan predicted how it would be done. It never did it, but you were right in tune with McLuhan. And would you, you would run your presidency by that way?
And if Baghdad got with it or Baghdad got over it.
What's that? I didn't get that.
I got it with it either. Yes, sir.
By God, I would get over it.
No, by God, they'd get with it, or by God, they'd get over it.
Okay, now do we have? I mean, we have Pam. We have who's there?
So we have Pam, Hedgie, Robert.
Well, Chad's a musician. Let's see if Chad's there. Chad has a question for Zap.
I need to drop that. I'll bring him back in.
Well, I have a general question.
Okay.
About music.
Yeah.
My favorite band in the world is Led Zeppelin. Their music moves me to no end. So why is it that some of us resonate with certain artists and others resonate with others? What is the frequency of something?
There is, and some of that is the repartee. After me, repetition. Because Pam, the point is that people don't know what they like what they know. And then as you get the feeling placed of to having something different in your experience, then all of a sudden you can click with it if you like it. And if you can click with it, then guess what happens? It becomes yours. And that's when you are making it.
Is that Zappa answering or Ion?
No, that's Hedy coming back in.
No. Is that answer, was that Ion or Zappa who answered?
It's just that Zappa.
Zappa saying that. Okay, good. I think, I know Robert here might get it. I think that's perfect. Zappa didn't want to become famous, and Dylan did. That's the difference. I mean, Dylan admits it in his own autobiography.
Yes.
But Zappa, what's great about Zappa is he heard Dylan, it was happy Dylan had made it into the mainstream, but after a while he thought that everybody was misinterpreting what Dylan was offering, so Frank thought he'd come in and correct it. That's why he made his album, and then Dylan had the accent, and then Zappa became the figurehead for a while.
It'll be great if he ever figures out how to sing.
Well, you know... I'll just say this, Zappa told me that he was very frustrated by his own music. It never, I mean, to me, he made beautiful music, but it never got to where he wanted to get it. Could you clarify that a bit, Frank?
Of course. We were just horsing around, and it's bomb, and it was never right, it was never appropriate, it was never, what you say, good. because it was so far out, everybody zapped into it.
Yeah.
Can you name maybe
say five of your favorite releases, excluding your wrangle with Warner Brothers? And do you have a sense of moral pride with the mark you left in the music field?
Never. It's the standard by which all others are condemned.
Can you suggest which albums from your catalog that you'd actually care to listen to?
None of them.
When you're alive, you just listen to your own music?
No, he said he
well,
didn't.
Because we...
What a bit.
Never, because it was never good enough. It didn't warrant our time. They were still trying to perfect the work.
Too busy in the Boston Research Facility Unit.
Well, some of the guitar solos, Frank, like in Fire and Chains and some Charlena stuff, and, they come close. Don't you laugh. Well,
once you drop a few tabs, all of a sudden the world became quite a blisteringly refreshing place.
Yeah, now here's the thing, James. Frank was very well known for
drugs.
Zappa was very well known for not doing drugs and not being against them, but actually the secret, according to the Zappa we talked to through Ion, he did do a few drugs. But he kept it secret. He didn't want it out there.
Now, Zappa, are you there? Yeah. And is that did you make some cocaine decisions?
Well,
sorry, I had to. It's okay.
Ion's answering. What, Frank? Go ahead, Frank.
The spice is not in the puffery. The puffery is in the spice. Nice. Thanks, Frank.
You know, I knew Frank, and he didn't listen to his music. I mean, he just kept working and carving and shaping what he had. He didn't really go back, but he would find things in his archive.
Well, I've got a question for you, human creators. What's going on with that "Tell Me That You Love Me" in the key of G?
Yeah, what's that, James? What's that? Who did that?
Tell me you love me in the key of G. What song is it? No,
that's Zappa. Zappa did tell me. Zappa did tell me you love me.
Yeah, no, I thought he said some other band has ripped that off in the key of G. What? No, we're asking what's going on with that. How could that possibly have resonated with anyone?
That was one of the things Zappa said to me. Actually, we did it with Ben Watson. If you listen to my dialogue with Ben Watson, when we did it with Ion, Zappa came in, and Zappa said he kept trying to be different and annoying people, but everybody kept embracing it.
Exactly. That's the irony of it.
Yeah, I want to say this to Pam. Whoever said the Stairway to Heaven or Led Zeppelin, J.W. Sun and I did a long session with Ion, explaining every lyric in Stairway to Heaven. And we haven't made that available yet, but we analyzed, or Ion said, what the Led Zeppelin meant by those lyrics. Did you hear that, Pam? Beg your pardon?
What did they mean?
Well, Ion might be able to remember. What's the basic theme in Stairway to Heaven, Ion?
Oh, gracious. It was make it available.
Right.
Make it available on your thing, because it was probably an hour and a half.
That's right. We went through an hour and a half of analyzing each line and why the writers said what they said.
Cool.
Yeah, in the highway to hell.
Yeah.
Hey.
Don't forget the Lazarus part.
Yeah, and when we do Melting Titanium, we begin by mashing four songs together. Highway to Hell, Stairway to Heaven, the Eagles' Last Resort, and Everything's Coming Up Roses,
Everything's Coming Up Roses.
Right, and then we added Looking for a City now. So we imagine we mash it together, these five songs. That's how Melty Titanium begins, but nobody hears it, unless you have ESP.
Well, they all have ASP, Bob, but they allow it or not.
Oh, yeah.
Number one can tell you about it. He plays.
Who?
Number one.
Yeah, Dad. You know, is everybody still there, James?
Yeah, some people are dropping out, but I'm ringing them back, so say hello, everyone.
Thanks, James.
That's okay.
Okay, just wanted to say that last night on Melting Titanium, at the beginning, I asked Ion, how many are listening? And Ion said something like 929. That was at the beginning. 2 hours later, I said, how many are listening? And this is ESP. People can do it. How many are listening after 2 hours? 100,000. Now, can you believe that? 100,000 were listening to our broadcast last night.
Because they resonate with it. They find these voices in their head. And some people take drugs just to appease them. others embrace them and gain great ground from that experience.
So some people are hearing your show and get irritated by it and take drugs. Is that what you said, Ion?
Yeah.
It sounds like we're outside in the wind. And
it does. Yeah, Ion, have you gone outside? Yes, we dragged JW out to enjoy the cool breeze.
That's right. He probably needs a walk.
Oh, so you actually are out in the wind. But I'm talking about hearing this, hearing the Skype phenomenon. It sounds windy. Like our voices are coming, we're out on the top of a hill and we're talking as a group and you're half hearing what people are saying.
Hello down there. Hello. It's pretty clear here. It's pretty clear here on Skype. And we also absolutely love and appreciate, James, you taking the tenacity to put this together for a little afterglow party. It's great fun. We really appreciate it because you weren't asked or solicited or begged or pandered. It was just the bachelor's pass for your joy. And we want to share our implicit appreciation because we here in non-physical, don't mind us, we're just non-physical. We do love to play. It is delicious. It's refreshing. It's euphoric. Anytime human creators come together to start considering the mastery of their own possibilities, it is it's amazing. Because what comes the outcome of that is ascended human creators. And that's what will bring the heaven on earth that everyone speaks of as it is in heaven. And we should do more of this.
Yeah. I love it.
Thanks for participating, Lyle.
Yeah, thank you, Lyle. It's the most we could do.
And thanks, Bob.
Yeah, well, wait a minute. Here's what we could...
We're happy to help you, Ion.
Yeah, we don't have to end. We don't have to end.
No. We're just saying thank you.
No.
Yeah. That's all good.
Yeah, and I think it'd be nice to... We'll have Ion disappear and have JW come in, and you guys can talk to JW.
Yeah, that's good fun. That's fine. That's good.
So, does anybody have a new topic or a new question?
Okay, I was going to go way off left field and bring in Hitler, but I've decided that might be a bit too expensive.
Oh, I love Hitler.
We need to embrace her, otherwise human
creation. I don't get that.
What? Ion, what's your position on Hitler?
He was a marvelous creator.
Does he want to chat?
Well... Let's go at it. Don't jump too far down the rabbit hole.
Okay.
Why don't you ask questions just to soften it up a little bit before you go into your patents of Deutsch. It might be more than you want.
Okay. Well, to embrace polarized, if we can't embrace human creation, how can we regard non-physical? So we have to embrace, Hitler's creation in that sense.
Don't forget the papacy as well.
Indeed.
The papacy
is killed.
Did I blip out?
The papacy is killed. No, we were being polite.
Okay.
The papacy has caused more dogmatic transitions than Adolf Hitler ever did.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, they hired him, didn't they?
Well, apparently, yes.
The papacy hired Hitler to stop communism?
A bit more complicated than that. To the variable of a dialectic.
No, what are you saying, James?
The problem with communism is that sooner or later you run out of other people's money.
I know when I talk to the Evergreens, I asked the question, who was the greatest sinner in history? And they went into some obscure guy who, carved up a lot of people as a general in the Roman army, 300 AD. And the main sin was that he had no forgiveness, and he killed all the women and children, too, after killing the men. But anyways, in the course of that, Hitler came up, and I said, can I speak to Hitler? And they said, well, normally we wouldn't allow it, But we know you're not a neo-Nazi or anything, so we'll do it. But this is at the end of the reading, so we didn't have much time, so we started. And the main point that the Evering said, that Hitler was, that when he transitioned, he felt guilty, so to speak, and he tried to create his own hell over there and pay his karma. And everybody, whatever, the soul plane said, no, Hitler, you can't pay for your karma here. You got to do it back in the physical. Now, I then since have talked to Ion, and who said there's no physical, no karma and all that, and everybody has the same bliss when they transition. But then the judging part that I've heard from Ion, that you do judge yourself when you're transitioned. So that is what Ivor Green's referring to. Jesus, or Hitler judged himself and then tried to pay for what he thought was a sin. Would you agree with that, Ion?
Correct. From the separation, God is in charge of the judgment. The problem is what you human creators think God is, God isn't. You are the deity. So anything that you work out in a timeless experience, you work out between you. It's why Moses didn't cross the River Jordan into the Promised Land, the land of Canaan, milk and honey. It was because God didn't say Moses couldn't go. Moses said Moses couldn't go.
Yeah, he judged himself. So
that was about a... That was a 2.3-second experience, and then moving right along, that's how long it lasts.
Right. Now, Hitler then had a confusion about what was God and what wasn't, and therefore he judged himself harshly?
No.
Why did he judge? He had his own rules in the transition experience and then judged himself as not worthy or needed to pay a deal, a debt or something.
Well, it's amazing. He wanted to make a difference, and he wanted to be memory and memorialized, and you human creators are still speaking about him today, so that's more than you can say for Pope Pius II.
That's right. Well, he had the advantage. David Bowie said Hitler was the first pop star in the radio era.
Mm-hmm.
So he has the advantage of being in the 20th century, which endlessly replays footage and Hollywood makes movies. You know, you get recycled in the 20th century. Pope Pius II, I don't even know when he lived.
Precisely.
No movies. So if you want to become famous, put a lot of contrast in your performance, because the android meme loves that. We being the android meme.
Then put it on an endless loop. Put it on an endless loop. And make boob tubes regarding it, and you'll live forever.
So someone want to ask a question, somebody?
First thing that came to my head was, Ion, how do you feel the opposite to telepathy is the internet? Just for a bit of fun.
Well, sure. You mean as do a comparison
Make a comparison.
Well, here's the comparison. The chip body, Bob's bastard babies, the chip body is the physical aspiration of the telepathy version of the human creator. You just had to find a way to allow it to squirt out.
That's what I'm getting here.
It's limited to apps on your Peacock.
Right. So that would suggest that those who actually do relax and allow the psychic channels are very open and clear.
Of course.
Right. Now, the printing press caused such a shutdown of the natural pre-printing press abilities in people that we had to create the electric world. This is what McLuhan said. To counter the effects of the printing press. That's what the chip landscape came in, to activate what was here before the printing press. Or to simulate
it. What's so anomalous, and what's so funny is that's what human creators call the Dark Ages. We find that amusing.
Right, and Ion considers the Dark Age from 1603, the King James Version of the Bible, to, say, 1900, around just before Einstein, and yet we're taught that that's the glorious enlightenment.
Absolutely.
But it's dark.
It ushered in many parts, even your Renaissance. Don't forget that.
The Renaissance, that's right.
Renaissance.
Yeah, and what's interesting historically about the printing press, it was started by the church to print off indulgences during the Black Plague.
For sale.
What?
For sale.
Yeah,
you
for sale.
You could tie your loved ones out of purgatory.
Right, and that was during the Black Plague, right?
Just before? Well, it went on. Yeah, it went on through it. Yes.
Yeah, because
offers were low, Bob. They had to come up with something.
They're below because of the Black Plague.
Well, yeah. When all the givers started dying, there weren't many chickens to go around with it.
Right. So they knew about it in China. They picked it up from China, the printing press.
Yes. From, you mean the typesetting aspect of actual lithography, yes.
Yes, the beginning parts. We added the movable type, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But China had a different approach to using the printing aspect. Why? Why didn't they do what we did?
Because they understood that the symbols that recorded the knowings had only power as they were applied to a conscious engagement with symbols that were put together.
Yeah, they understood the parallel.
Whereas your human creators take the words and then attach a meaning. They attach the meaning to the word.
Right. So the printing press. Go ahead. Go ahead,
Andrew. The language of light, it's like the vast, but it's drawing with your hand, anything on the straight area of energy. So, like, you can talk universal language with light and sound.
It
sounds unusual for humans, but it's like universal communication, you think.
Absolutely. That's perfect.
And then you
perfect,
draw it, and if you look at it, it's multidimensional, and it's like looking at an animation.
It is. It's the original 3D.
Yeah, wicked. But at home.
Good.
No, she's exactly right.
How delicious.
Yeah, Eric McLuhan discovered that the Egyptian hieroglyphics, that the reason you see profiles is they're actually spinning like cartoon characters, like animation.
Yes.
Yeah. Like filigree in the Egyptian temple.
Yeah.
The
Carib
one. Well, a la
cartouche. A la cartouche.
What? What's that?
What's that mean in France?
Not French. It's the cartouche is the hieroglyphs that they would use to make names.
And who's they?
Cartouche. Egyptian.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. So the interesting thing is that
now you do.
Right. And I'll never forget it. I cannot go back
right.
to the unknowing never. State. Unless
That's
I forget
correct.
It. But the
if you wondered where you were when you got it the last time, good.
So the extra point is that we're talking about concepts or con. The printing press, as the West applied it, took the concepts and really squared the con and got lost in the rabbit hole, whereas the Chinese never got alphabetized like we did with the phonetic alphabet, and so they stayed in touch with the animation meaning of the symbols.
That is exactly correct, and never allowed any, even the dynasty changes, never allowed it to usurp the essence of the symbols, of the symbolism.
Yeah, they knew the symbols were just symbols.
Yes. Yin and yang is always yin and yang. Nothing else added. Chai is chai. Never added, never subtracted. It is, it is. And that's the dynamic.
Yeah, so they...
Is there another way of generating energy?
Yes, if you understand how the angles apply, you certainly can. And human creators.
All right, she stopped.
No.
Right.
And this is right.
the human creators, Ion, you were saying.
Yes, the human creators, as they develop and conjure, conjure these dynamics. There are many vast ways of communication to communicating that haven't even been played with yet. It'll get simpler. And here's the example. On your little tweeting or your texting, that all of a sudden we can say, OMG, what's the BFD? And everybody understands.
Ion, did words like charity and selflessness originally come from an ascended place, but through dogma and the effects of the media, these are now sort of worthless words in many ways, and we need to be selfish to be ascended?
If you are not a selfish creator, charity has no value or meaning because you have nothing to give.
Excellent.
Good. And this selflessness state that people are trying to achieve only eliminates your power. And so try it. See how that works for you.
You become no earthly good. You'd be so heavenly bound, you'd be no earthly good.
Well, indeed. I mean, but you are naturally selfish anyway. You don't go outside and say, well, you know, I've been healthy for a long time, and I've had my body works perfectly, and everything's going the way it's supposed to go. I'm tactile in my body. Well, I've been really selfish about my health, so I think I need to be sick for the next 10 or 12, 15, 20 years so other people can enjoy the wellness that I am just so selfishly hogging. Well, it doesn't work that way, because even if you forfeit your healthiness, others aren't going to get the gain from that. You see? It'd be like going out and saying, well, you know, I've breathed all the air I wanted just with complete and total abundance. So I'm going to stop breathing for a few years so that other people have more air, so I'm not taking more than my fair share. You human creator, your meat sack body doesn't care what everyone else is doing. They can suffocate to death and it won't affect your capacity for breathing. You ain't going to have it. You're like, you know, hey, if you can't breathe this, hey, if the COP's got you, it ain't my fault. I'm not giving you more of my air so you can waste some more that you didn't take advantage of. So the selfish place of coming into a knowing allows everyone to have all that they will allow into their experience. And the only left-hand place that is, even within your governments and your money checks and your working jobs and all your little places, the only time that comes up is when you start deciphering the distance between you and you as a left-hand place that won't allow your creation to be made manifest in your reality. Then it's somebody else's fault.
Excellent.
Because remember, it's not how you play the game, it's how you
the blame.
It's not whether you win or lose, it's how you place the blame.
That's Ion, Ayn Rand talked about collectivism, philosophy, etc. And she used to go on about altruism being very selfish. And that was pretty much what you were talking about then. But interestingly, she... I think she had an affair with one of the Rothschilds or his mistress or something, and ended up penning a manuscript for a new world order, effectively. Is that actually the case, Al?
Close to it. The dynamics were there. The concepts weren't developed because that'd be mutiny on the Bounty in those days, because... You know, when you have your own cow and the milk is for free, you don't have to wonder how well you can then refine the state of holy matrimony.
Time doesn't exist, but we exist in the inner present, whatever. If you were to speculate, not that you're going to, what percentage of meat sacks would actually deep down be prepared for a real paradigm change, as in let go of the ego material or transfer in? I mean, what percentage of people right now do you think could actually handle a real shift?
Well, all of them have the capacity to.
Obviously.
But what you find, what you're going to find is the power that's released with the human creators who understand that the veil is thin and been rent in two, and that they have access to the Holy of Holies already, and that the mercy seat within the Ark of the Covenant had to be separated from the dogma basis of you are less than as a human. Then when they start embracing it, what you're going to find is a mass exodus. Those that can't embrace it are going to choose to go.
And that explains why so many people are actually passing it on as we speak.
Well, they're transitioning.
Yes, there is with that. There's no
sorry.
So, I mean, if you transition,
there is no
yeah, because we've already
there's only transition. There is, that's right. She's right. Awesome. She's right. There's only transition. And they'll choose transition because it becomes the fastest path to their joy. Rather than embrace it, they just check out.
So it'll be.
Yeah, like you can see people deactivated in their eyes or activated in their eyes. Someone's not talking about talking.
Good. You marvelous creator.
Ion, there are people walking the streets who don't have time in their concepts and are ascended.
Oh, and more than that, more than just the street walkers.
Excellent.
For them, it's a business doing pleasure.
On the streets in my neighborhood.
But in the thinning of the veil, the streetwalkers were shocked when the teenagers were giving it away for free.
Right. The high school girls were giving it away for free, so it was cutting into their business.
So does anybody else have any questions besides James?
Someone else speak the words that you think you understood her ask. To validate for your recording, if there's one, so there's no broken words, please.
Yeah, James, you're Irish. I don't get it, but James, you might be able to get it.
And you have to connect all the dots. Is it some time codes? I think she's talking about. Are they universal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Or can you just go into one memory and then walk from there?
And then just go into one memory and walk from there.
Yes. Number one. Bring number one. Find number one.
Where's Chad? Chad playing hooky again.
He's here. Chad. He's gone to sleep.
Hello.
Oh, there he is.
Okay. Is he
number
there?
Number one.
Chad's here. I couldn't hear you.
Okay.
Tell him
how to do it.
Tell him, Chad. Tell us.
Do what?
I understand.
I can't hear what you said to do. To jump. Tell him how to jump. Jump out your hemlock.
Jump out your hemlock tree.
Your tree.
How do you do it, Chad? Are
you
there, Chad?
Can you hear clearly, Eddie?
Yes.
I'm going to jump on Eddie's computer. Hold on.
I think he just
jumped.
He jumped?
Yeah, so I thought to myself. I thought he jumped there. I was like, whoa.
He did.
Yeah, because I fenced the jump.
He did.
Number one, get back.
Number one, sir. Hey, so how do you jump to another plane?
Yeah.
You have to put yourself in a... I'm not talking about astral projection. I'm talking about physical experience, not actual projection.
Not using an exterior view, because I've already done that, because in the dream sequence, if they're real, like, have to kind of think come up, and I learned how to do it without using a physical and outer view.
That's right. Now, you're right, but what he's going to tell you is how he does it in his physical meat sack body. And so, go ahead, number one.
Okay, symbols will show up in my dreams, and then I keep track of these symbols, because the dreams are basically tunnels that are, because it's non-physical, and non-physical is the same in every world. So, the symbols are passed from one physical plane to another, and I'm talking physical experience. They pass through the dreams, and then I notice the symbols as I'm walking around during the day. I'll see patterns, and I'll say, oh, there's that one I saw in my dream, and I note it. And then when the symbols show up, other symbols show up, I start to give them my undivided attention. I don't go looking for them. I just notice them when they show up. And when it comes into the field of my gaze, I give it my undivided attention. And then what happens is, from the peripheral vision of my field of my gaze, the outermost vision, I'll start to see things show up that I wouldn't have noticed if I was just not paying attention to the symbol. The symbol does something to my perception. It's like a key. It unlocks my peripheral vision, and then the periphery of what I see changes to a different field of experience. Did you follow that?
Yeah, well done, Chad. Bam, there you go. Now that's how it works.
This is
a sports fan. I'm wondering. Thank you, number one. You got it together, and you were able to even convey it. Because if we told you, we've only told you 9,273,1614 times, and you won't believe us, but these marvelous creators get a hold of it, and they start attaching it, and all of a sudden it becomes real, because he didn't say, I think. He didn't say, sometimes. He didn't say, more than likely. He said, no, this is how it is. And you'll not change my mind, because I know. And once you know, then you can never unknow. And if you can never unknow, then that reality becomes within, firmly planted within the field of your gaze. Then all these anomalies, gosh, we can't even say it. Why would you want to do it? You come to a place to where it becomes real. And then, now, you have access to multi-planes, multi-dimensions, multi-worlds, multi-realities. You haven't even begun. This is just the beginning places. The questions are delicious, and you're probably the upper crust of the leading edge of creation. So you're well on your way, but you're just scratching the very basic of the surface of what's available to you. You want to go back to 1960?
A different day to begin.
You want to go back? Then you pop there. And you can experience it.
I
have it. It's not fair to the people around you that often on the same wavelength. Otherwise, they're not in your reality. So what I'm trying to figure out is, like, the new people that are able to access things together and actually go up there. You know, like, say, your friends, check this out and go there.
I got something to say to that, Angela, from my personal experience, about how you might think that other people around you are going to change. Well, interesting things that happen with respect to that. When I go into another world, where let's say I know, Frank and Jim here in this world, when I go into the other world, I'll start to notice people who look a lot like them, but they don't recognize me, and it's not them, but it is them.
Yeah.
So they are there because it's parallel. There's a lot of parallels.
Everything has duality.
Yeah.
Good. And don't allow that anomaly. Don't allow that anomaly to confuse you. If you understand that, then all of a sudden it's no big deal. And then if your soulmate doesn't recognize you in a different world, be easy with it. It's okay. It's not a problem.
I had a dream when I was probably about 17. This relates very much to what Chad was talking about. In the dream, the environment I was in, non-physical obviously, but it was a nice blend of kind of places I'd seen, places that I hadn't, people wasn't there, people hadn't. But the telepathic communication I was experiencing within the dream with whatever sort of consciousness you want to call it, as I would engage with the space in the dream, patterns on my shirt would change in the bottom right-hand corner. And it started to get very colourful and different symbols and different shapes. And it was a very pivotal dream, and I woke up feeling very, very different, the best way to explain it. And then as the years have gone on, like Chad has said, sometimes you see something and then it comes up in a very specific situation, you just get a feeling and you just know, and it's almost, it's a perfect time to relax and lay out right there and then.
Yeah, up there, you're sometimes up to your legs and then you're walking up there. When the thing goes from the
exactly.
Up. All in the past. But then, right, like, after a while, I'm like kind of trying to figure out the mechanics of it, right? The signal system, navigation of the driver system thing. But then there's just that world that I was talking about where you're behind the screen and everything that's going to be happening is coming from like the projector, like the different like filters, the different those parts of like. And when you go behind that, that's like, I don't know what to call that, like you call it like Atlantis, I don't know what it is, it's like
portal.
It all ties back up into the being inside of pyramids and atoms.
Don't internalize it. It's just a portal. Yeah. It's okay.
So James, what has Angela been saying last 5 minutes?
She's talking about when she's doing it herself, what she's experiencing, and learning the mechanics and the process of it.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, don't. It'll make you wayward. It'll make you second guess what you already know.
So if
the words don't meet right, then you got to figure it out again. No. You got it. Just go with it, Angela. You got it. Just go with it. Did we mention? Just go with it. You're good. It'll all be made clear and evident. We'll hold these truths to be self-evident, whether anyone else ever gets it or not.
Yeah. It's good. I was given the choice of going to any access point I wanted, an urgent job there, anything with any. And I've been there, and I've thought I'm loads of different access points, having a brilliant time thinking. Then I kind of look around and I'm like, whoa, we're very dodgy on. You know what I mean? I was like, quite handy, trying to share this to everyone. And I've kind of one now, and then the other now is where he goes to that's the creation of world, so where that language of writing is going on, and you're the original generator of that template.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like
and the assemblage,
and the assemblage. Go ahead, Ira. And the assemblage.
Is that a Cork accent, Angela?
Yeah, bitch.
You know, that's the trickiest Irish accent for anyone to figure out.
Yes. We need Angela in the future. Talk slower. We have no idea what you're talking about. We can't understand.
Yeah, sorry, Pam.
Oh, what did Pam say?
She said no clue either.
Yeah. Okay. Here. Let's...
Yeah, I know what she's saying.
We'll translate it for you.
Okay, James, we have two people dropped in here. Maybe one of them has a question. Do you have a question? Just say your name.
Hi, Ion, it's Kelly.
Come over here, right in there.
Hey, Kelly!
Hey, Ion, how are you?
I'm just very non-physical today, my love.
Hey, I had a dream tonight.
Welcome, we're having a little after party. Join us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I had a dream two nights ago I'd like to ask you about. The dream.
Just go right ahead.
Thank you. The dream had four owls, and they were in a glass plane, and it was like they were looking through the glass, but they weren't able to fly. They were alive, and it was like they were trapped on the opposite side of a glass plane. And it was just that image. It was very clear, and it was with me for quite some time. And I was with another person when it was happening. Got any insight?
Yes. Would you like to know what the constipated owl had to say?
I do.
I can't shit worth a hoot or hoot worth a shit.
Well, then.
Does that have any reflection on your
four owls represent wisdom and knowing that they are trapped in your four worlds. That's the outer kingdom, the inner kingdom, and the middle kingdom. That was giving the representation of your now. And that there was a separation between you and you was that inference that the owls were trying to display. Did you notice how they would follow you with their eyes regardless of how you moved?
Yes.
Did you notice their engagement of how intrigued they were with you being in their presence?
No, not so much. I mean, I just felt their stillness a bit more. I could feel their energy, but it wasn't like I was incredibly active or they were visually giving me a lot of, like, eye movement. But I could feel their engagement.
Oh, but they were. They were. They were. Because they were the representation that we've been talking about now for a bit. It showed up in your experience, because remember when you suppress something, it always squirts out somewhere else.
Right.
That's what happens. And it's a very comforting place, because in your non-physical, it's trying to remind you that all these directions that have laid out, you can put in a glass cage or have a separation, or you can engage and drop the form that allows not only the sightedness of the four owls, but engagement with them.
Thank you so much.
Of course. Now, what else did you see besides the owl in the glass?
That was it, Ion, for this one.
No. Just a second now. Sorry, folks, it takes just a moment. We'd like to thank our kind sponsors for this part of the program. Here we go. In your peripheral vision, looking at what the owls were sitting on and what was in the background, in your peripheral vision, what little thing did you notice?
Well,
and you thought, what's that?
In my peripheral vision was a very handsome man.
Me.
No, and it was not Bob. Although Bob is quite lovely, it was not him. It was a very, very handsome man.
Good. Of course. We couldn't just leave that to chance. We had to bring it out. You're not physical, just was screaming, so we couldn't miss that little part. The separation between the owls also sometimes could put a distance between you and him. So, as you engage with the owls, he can engage closer to you, if it's your pleasure. But see, you already know how to love you, and most human creators don't. But you get that. You know how to love you. So to have someone else love you is no big deal. That's normal. But as you have embraced it, don't make it quite so tactile. Go with it. You have the unction, go with it.
Tactile meaning contrast. Go with it.
Because the worst case scenario is you get back to where you are already. And that's okay with you, because you're good already anyway.
Aww.
So if it just can get your good, better, best, the best of the good or the best of the best,
So the best of 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 the best. Oh, wait, we slipped into James Joyce. Hold on. The better it gets, the better it gets, the better it gets will allow the better to get to you.
I think I'm going to call my owl man up today.
Yeah.
You go, girl.
You go, girl.
Right. Did you know y'all can tear it up on the weekends if you want to?
Thank you for your blessing.
Careful, Alice, and tear the dog.
Hey, thanks, everybody.
You hear that? He said, careful, the owls can see in the dark.
Look at you human creators.
Hey, James.
Great.
Hey, James, oh, yeah. Unless someone has some pressing point, do you have anything to say, Barbara Ann?
Not at the moment.
No, the thing is, all our phones are dead, are here. We've been on the phone for 5 hours, and so we're on a speakerphone. Ion has been working for 5 hours with a break after 3 hours for a few minutes. Maybe we could take Ion out and have us talk to JW a little bit.
Sounds good. That's perfect. Wait a minute.
Uh-oh.
Hold on.
Okay.
Barbara Ann.
Aloha.
Aloha. We've got a little bitty thing that doesn't need any attention at all, but we've got a little message.
Oh, I'm open and willing.
Kent loves you. And your work has been made manifest. Please follow your fastest path to your joy. And you can be easy about all that confounds you. The work was not in vain. The direction was not in vain. And your placement in that holding together is a delicious experience. You've done more marvelously in a matter of a moment than I did my entire walk on the earth. Ion, did you ever do a walk on the earth?
No, you see, he's talking. That's Kent.
Oh.
That's Ken speaking to Barbara.
Oh, sorry. Sorry about that.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, mahalo nui loa from my heart to your heart.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you. Yes.
We love you more than you know.
Ugh. I'm knowing more now.
Well, therefore, if you're all done, you're yes. going to cast non-physical back to the wind. We'll just maintain our non-physical relationship bliss. And we've enjoyed playing. We really love to play. And Bob, are you done?
Yes, we would like to speak to JW.
Okay, well, he may not be as engaging as us, but we'll certainly yield the floor. All right, therefore you are complete. Thank you. Well, get off the table, Mabel. That $2 was for beer.
JW's back.
Hey.
So JW, how long does it feel you've been gone?
Well, it would seem like about maybe 20, 25 minutes, but I'm looking around and it's dark, so something's going on.
Yeah, you did 3 hours.
Thank you.
Three hours on the show, and then 2 hours with at the party. You were the life of the party. Everybody dug it. And I thought we'd give an opportunity for these people who joined us to talk to the person who makes this possible. So if you have any questions for JW, go ahead.
Bob, you're gonna be late for London. What are you doing?
No, Ben canceled.
Oh, well, perfect timing.
Yeah, he wanted it to happen, and then the last minute I got an email and he couldn't do it. He was too tired, so he said next week. So that's great for this inaugural party. We had a long time.
Well, there you go. Very good. What great fun.
So does Pam or Steve or Robert or anybody like to ask something of JW?
Well, JW, I just have a crush on you, for all you
know. Well, and it's very delicious, it's very wonderful, as we do all of our folks that are play with us as well, because it's fun, because I'm very displaced from the process, only because I won't give it any attention. So it allows things to flow easy, because I don't know and I don't care. Bob said my problem was either ignorance or apathy, but I couldn't tell the difference.
Children.
What's that? Who said?
Children. The work you do is fantastic.
The work you do is fantastic. She said, it's very wonderful. It's the easiest thing in the world.
Who said it was fantastic? Who's speaking that? Hetty?
Angela.
Okay.
Yes, Angela. Did you have an interest in this before it started coming for you?
Good Lord, no. I gotta run from it like the plague.
But you were intrigued by it.
Are you joking? I wouldn't sit through much woo-woo anything.
Right, but you were intrigued. But it is true, you were intrigued when you met Esther Hicks and Jerry Hicks with the Abrahams, and you attended their things.
Absolutely.
And that was your first experience of that a few years ago. But then you found it wanting. You found that the performance wasn't great with the audience.
Well, no, it wasn't about performance. It was just that there were more questions than there were answers. And also, I enjoyed Robert Butts. And Jane Roberts. That was interesting. It was very interesting.
But you read that when you were very young, right, Seth's material?
Yeah, I think it was in high school or something.
Right, and it seemed, I think you told me it seemed ridiculous or odd to you, or you didn't know what it meant.
Yeah, it was a bit foreign. It was a bit foreign. But it was interesting, it was foreign.
And then you had no thinking of that, and then you encountered the Abrahams, coincidentally, in around 2006, and you listened to them. And then what was interesting, didn't some people tell you that you would talk to the ancestors, and you didn't have a clue what they were talking about?
That's exactly correct. That's correct. And didn't much care. See, I didn't add any attention to any of it, because it was, you know, it is what it is, and it's all good. And if all things work together for good, then the good's good and the bad's good. Well, if it's all good, then it's good. So we just go with the good.
Yeah, and this is like the Playboy interview with J.W. Here's the interesting thing. I know from knowing J.W.
Oh, what time the dancing girls get here?
They're here. They're with me right now. We'll pass them on later.
Oh, well, all right. See, Bob catches all the love.
But what was interesting was in 2000... a year ago, J.W. was seeing dead or transitioned people in his home, and he wasn't going to tell anybody, but he felt maybe he could tell Bob and Carolyn, but he was worried that, you know, we might think he's nuts, but he took a chance and told us, and J.W. never expected the response. We go, wow, the Evergreens are back! So we want to talk to them.
Yeah, because being normal humans, like everybody else, you don't want to make a separation or a distance with yourself. I mean, you don't want people to think badly of you, but you really don't care. But at the same time, just because you've got on real pretty underwear doesn't mean you want to run around showing everybody, you know, or what is it we call it? Ion calls it foundational garments. Just because you've got on good foundational garments doesn't mean you want to show everybody. So you don't want to come to that place where you're basically exposed, but without having any regard, it became a very flowing, easy process.
Yeah, what happened? We made the outrageous suggestion that, okay, if you're seeing dead people, maybe it's the Evergreens, and Dr. Beter showed up and said hello to Bob, and you didn't know who Dr. Beter was, and this is all happening in your home, you know, you can see these people. Big Biden?
I still don't.
Still don't what?
Know who Beter is.
Oh, okay. So anyways, so we said, well, let's try it tomorrow. And JW went along with it, having no idea what was going to happen. And for some reason, a voice came over him, and JW went sort of unconscious. And we talked for 2 hours, and then we stopped talking to whoever or whatever was talking to us, because we didn't have a name for it then. And JW woke up and said, "Wow, let's do that again. It's been so good." So that was, and then, so we never stopped. So JW walked into it blindly, like the famous cartoon character, Mr. Magoo, who keeps making mistakes, but it always works out.
Yes. Looking, sometimes he's looking for the waxily wabbit.
Yeah.
Embodied
a oneness.
Embodied a what, honey? I can't hear a word you're saying. Yes, absolutely.
So it feels lovely then. That's so good. That's
amazing.
Sorry, what?
She's saying that's amazing, JW, and that's amazing. Good Lord, suffering. Yes, I get the words you say. Okay. Wow.
How fun of them.
Oh, well. Well, we'll be able to the better man. Wow. Okay. It's like it's a break in the connection or something. It's not her accent.
Well, Ion, JW, did you see any pictures? What did you pick up on?
Y'all know how pictures work now. We don't have a clue. They're just like snapshots. So there are a few, and they're large, meaning like, you know, panoramic pictures.
Yeah.
The only thing I could say is the picture is kind of like those, what do you call it, death camp things?
The Holocaust?
They're lining up to jump in the... Yeah, it's like a huge mass grave where they're just jumping into the hole.
That's the mass exodus. That was the last topic. That was the mass exodus.
Well, okay. Wow. Y'all really did have fun then, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Was that Hitler involved?
No, that's the Hitler, right. I forgot. That's the Hitler thing. Yeah, I just thought, the mass, everybody wanted to die now because they don't want to stay here. They can't handle the thinning of the veil. But yeah, that's right. We did Hitler.
There's a picture of a girl. I guess, I don't know who she'd be, but I guess she'd be, seems like she's connected to, who's the guitar person that plays the guitar?
Zappa.
Okay.
Or Led Zeppelin or Zappa? Or Bob Dylan?
No, I don't know. I don't know. It's just a girl.
And what about her?
That's talking about the girl. It's like she would be connected to a guitar player.
I think that's me.
Okay.
That's Kelly. Kelly is connected to a guitar player. Kelly is a guitar player.
And wants one.
Okay, next picture.
Okay, a picture of a stainless steel mandolin.
Okay.
Commercial grade. An Aki Berry smoothie.
A smoothie.
Oh, a kai.
Yeah.
What's a kai?
I thought it might have been like Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin?
Hey.
What's a kai berry?
A kai. It's a berry.
Okay.
It's just this new thing that's an antioxidant and very popular these days.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, now this is weird. It's a waterfall. It's a waterfall, but it's contained. So it would be like if you built a fountain, it had like a piece of glass. Sometimes you see it in restaurants or something, where you have this glass, the water's falling in front of it.
It's
so it's
hard
to imagine that there's a waterfall.
It's
a fairy.
Oh, that's Angela's water screen. Is that Angela's water screen?
Oh, okay. And it has big spotlights pointing to it.
Yeah, that's the...
And if the light falling, it makes like little sparklies.
Yeah,
and the reverse, the only thing I've seen like it that would be opposite would be like the Bellagio fountain in Vegas. You know, when all the water's squirting up, but only this water would be falling down.
Yeah.
And you could see through it, but there was a lot of water flowing.
Yeah.
Making like a barrier.
Yeah, that was the image that Angela brought up during the show.
Yeah, it would be about 4 meters square.
Yeah, and if you look down on your the desk, there's a dodecahedron made of red and gold. That's the mainframe computer storage thing. Turns into the gold cylinder. You can pull it up and you walk outside the door and you can hand over the gold. And then there's like three screens device within the water region and you can basically navigation system. I'm still trying to figure out where it is.
Oh, James, translation?
We love you so very much. We love you so very much. What in the world? In summary, it was a navigation machine. And, yeah, red and gold. Yeah.
Ian is so much more perceptive than JW.
I know, Danny, wow, we got to get this speaking to English. A pub, you know, those pub clubs, like we have bar food pub,
yeah.
Like a little pub,
yeah.
Darkwood, and lots of people having fun and drinking gin and tonic.
Well, that's what we've been doing for 2 hours.
Okay. Having fun. Lots of crisps.
Lots of what?
Crisps.
Oh, yeah. Did the musicians go, James, Robert, and other people?
Yeah, Robert left. Robert left.
There was only one Robert. He was the guy who started it off.
Yeah,
and then he was. Then it turned out he was a musician, and that had an interesting. I liked his conversation about music.
It was two Roberts.
Oh,
no, but he hadn't joined. He never joined. He tried.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
His audio was bad. So.
Okay. JW.
You'll appreciate this most definitely. When I was 19, 20, a girlfriend I was going out with lived in his townhouse, which is number 2 in the town. And one day I woke up and had a woman who used to get a screwdriver to look at this old Gad Blaster stereo. I had no interest in the stereo. It had been there for months, but I just woke up, had to get a screwdriver, knowing I didn't have one. But anyway, both of us, we knocked on the neighbor's doors, and there was nobody home. All the way up to number 9, and she gave up, and I said, no, we'll just knock him on the door. I knocked on the door, and the door opened a little bit, and there's a latch there, and there's an old elderly chap. He went through, I said, oh, sorry to disturb you, and he goes, that's okay, hang on a sec. He opened the door, walked in, and he just pointed his hand at screwdrivers and said, yeah, I've been expecting you. And I stayed and had dinner. I stayed for 3 hours. My girlfriend ended up crying because he started channeling German scientists and this, that, and the other. But he was quite fascinated in me and wanted me to work with him, and told me to come back when I was ready. And I decided 6 months later, I'd knock on his door, and a younger man answered, and I said, oh, where is such and such? His name is Mac. He was 87. And he goes, oh, he left yesterday.
And then 2 years after that, a woman at a bus stop. Ooh, a muscle on mine. Yeah. I've got this coming through. Yeah. Anyway, Jed, I'm sorry. 2 years after that, a woman at a bus stop said he just wanted you to come back. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's all good. So I've got an appreciation mindset.
You got appreciation of what?
Things okay to you to go knocking on people's door for screwdrivers?
we need things to unlock things, yeah?
Remember, we're talking to JW.
Right, please yourself. James,
we're talking to JW. JW has no clue about what Ion does. I mean, he does, but he doesn't. So why did you go through all that? Why are you telling JW that story?
It's Roger. It's not me.
It's Roger.
Yeah. I'm actually James' brother. We sound very similar.
But, well, James, you told the story in a private reading with Ion.
I told the same story. And Ion was quite fascinated by that.
Okay, James, you're saying that James told Roger's story to Ion.
He's saying that Roger popped in and told the story.
Correct. Oh, okay. I forgot that. All right. So why are you telling? What was the end point of your story? You said so JW could understand.
I just thought that JW would appreciate and empathize being a meat sack, providing other functions.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't appreciate that.
It's interesting. It's just interesting. Boy, you certainly aren't testicularly challenged just to go knocking on people's door for white party liquor in the morning.
Functions are going ultimately utterly resolvable. That was a very fine show. I have to admit.
What was?
It's fine. Well, and then of course that he would have screwdrivers there ready, saying I was expecting you. That's kind of. I'm not so sure I would have wanted to jump right in that barrel of liquor. If I'm not quite sure I would have said, have you been waiting? Let's see. You cracked that bottle, didn't you? It is very. That's interesting. Very interesting.
Don't mumble, Roger. You guys got to speak more clearly. We don't know what the hell you're talking about. We're English. We run this planet. You speak in our language.
Hail Bob. Hail the Prince of Bob Letting to Frostrick Ball. Behold him as he's crowned above and crowned him Bob of all.
Yeah. Bob of all.
Bob of all.
Okay. Pam, do you have anything you want to say to JW?
Oh, just what Ari said, that I have a crush on him. I think what he does is great.
It's great fun, and you can do it too.
I don't know if I want to do it.
There you go. That's right.
Yeah.
But as you play with those dynamics and concepts, your place of knowing can increase. What you'll find in your meat sack and your physical, which is what I... The only reason I know this is because it's the way I know, is that it builds a credible confidence within yourself. You begin, for the very first time sometimes, to find a place to trust yourself.
Right.
Many times that's not the case. Trust yourself. Trust your gut.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey,
JW, Chad.
Hey, number one.
Good to talk to you again.
Yes, it is. How's Hattie?
Excellent, thanks.
Oh, my stars. Well, the gang must be all here then.
Yeah, JW.
We're in the Netherlands right now.
Yes, fun.
JW, you got to get Jonathan to show you the YouTube, JW. Show, see, you haven't seen the YouTube that Hetty sent. So remember, Jonathan's going to show it.
Okay.
Because, you know, Hetty, when
what is it about?
Oh, just a minute. When we click on it, Hetty, it demands our ID. And I couldn't remember mine, but eventually I did. But is that because it's in a private place?
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't know if JW knows how to do that, so he can get his son to put his YouTube ID in to see it, but that hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
But anyways, someone asked what was
I can't it, ever get there. It always says, I always put in BoobTube, and it never seems to get me there.
BoobTube. Okay, so did someone...
Let me know, though. I'll change it if it's an issue.
What?
No, he can do it. My oldest, he's right with that peapod business. He can do all that.
Yeah, no, did someone ask what happened there? Is that what Pam asked? Or?
No, I asked, what is the YouTube about?
Well, what happened, you heard JW or Ion playing The Entertainer about an hour or so ago on the piano, right? Playing
Okay. Uh-huh, yep.
Well, Chad had a reading year months ago where... I think it was with Chad, JW, or Ion demonstrates some musical things. Was that to you, Chad? Yeah, it was to you. And so we put
that... in the middle of one of my readings.
Yeah, so then we had the recordings, so we put it on the website. You can hear Ion playing Scott Joplin's Entertainer. Okay, so that's like 8 months ago. Well, Hetty and Chad are in Amsterdam right now, and a few days ago they were walking through the market, and the local church steeple started playing The Entertainer.
Cool.
Yeah, and so Hetty immediately got her camera out and taped it and looks in the camera and says, this is for you, Ion. So they taped the tower playing the Entertainer song for about 5 minutes and then sent it to us.
The timing of it was pretty amazing, too, and in many different ways, but also the clock timing.
Yes, it was 1:22 or 2:22. Which was it? It's hard to tell.
I think maybe 1:22, but I'm not sure.
Okay, but it was a 22, and that's good. 1:22 is slightly better in my cosmology than 2:22, because 1:22 means...
Oh, yes, Bob will have to check his chitterly chart. He's laying all out, alphanumerically, all out.
Well, just to finish my sentence...
And Ion says, hey, Bob, how's that working for you? But we don't have that tenacity.
Yeah, and you know what I say? Ion, you wouldn't be here without my chart. it wouldn't have happened. That chart predicts Ion. But anyway, it's just that 1:22 is significant because it's the original one for original. The original 22. That's what it means to me. Whereas 2:22 is just 2:22. Okay.
Right.
Hogwash.
Yeah. I've been to that school.
Good. Well, all right, very wonderful. Anything else, and we'll call it a night.
Thanks.
Feel like I've been rolled hard and put up with happily.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, JW.
Yes, indeed. It's great fun. Y'all come in. They say we have a lot of fun in the Melting Titanium show on Tuesday night.
They do that. The ESP show, yes. Okay, so JW, you've got to go.
Yeah, it's it's time to put on the feed bag.
Okay, thanks a lot, JW. We'll talk to you later.
Have a good night. Bye, JW.
Bye.
Everybody saying goodbye.
Bye.
Everybody can hang on. Hey, don't hang up. Everybody can stay on for a minute. And
okay, see y'all later.
Okay, you're out of here, JW.
Bye, JW.
Okay, JW's gone. Now we can play.
Thanks, Bob. It was fun. That was great.
Yeah, that's
great.
That was the first time. So, who's still with us? We got Angela, James, Roger, and Pam. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Chad, Hedy.
Hedy and Chad.
Yeah, and Stephen is listening without a mic.
And Robert's gone?
Yeah, Robert's gone.
So only Robert dropped off.
Yeah, he was there for most of it, though, I think.
Yeah. Okay, well, anybody want to say anything to me or Carolyn or James?
Thank you.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Well, I'm glad we didn't have anything. We didn't have many issues with our Skype and stuff. It was pretty good, so maybe if we do it again, I'll try to sort it out a bit better so the vocals come through and whatnot. But I think it went all right, Bob. It sounded
The only problem with the vocals is that Irish girl.
Yeah, she's good.
Sorry, no,
yeah, but come on, that's a corker.
That's for us Americans.
We'll translate. We'll translate.
I've never used it before, so.
That's fine, Angela. Next time we'll watch the Unbelievables to prepare.
Well, all right, not better.
Or she could type the questions in. No, she's good. Yeah, maybe we'll.
No, hold on,
get a better headset, Angela, and it'll all be good.
Yeah, but here's what was demonstrated was that Ion can figure out what the person's saying, but JW doesn't have a clue.
No. Exactly. Yeah. That was good evidence of that, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that was good evidence of.
Yeah,
I mean, it was funny when JW said, "What the hell is that? What have you let in here, Bob?"
The first image he's got is the Nazi concentration camp. Whoops.
Yeah. Everybody's lined up jumping in the hole. But I see this, it is the concentration camp, but remember, Ion is saying that there's going to be a mass exodus. Haiti is an example.
Yes.
Doing more and more of that. That people don't want to stay here. They're uncomfortable. But it's not a drag. They're going into bliss.
Exactly.
So what else was there? So James, did you have emails with people giving them the number system? That worked out.
Yeah, that worked out, and I didn't add any of them because we were having a couple of dropouts with just the Skypers we had in. So I've told them, I'm telling them that you've got to go next week, or if we do it again, or whatever. Because just in case, JW and you dropped out, I didn't want to call them just yet, so there was two or three more people to call.
Right. How I was saying it on the air was good enough?
Yeah, you're a little bit muffly, and when JW played his piano, that was a bit distorted as well, but...
No, I'm talking about during Cashville, when I explained how to hook up with you, that was clear enough?
Just on the last hour you said big spring instead of string.
Oh, yeah, I screwed up. I couldn't find it. And I was locked with all this other stuff overrated. Yeah, so anyways, didn't matter. Everybody was in anyways already.
Yeah, but it worked fine. Yeah, it worked fine.
Okay,
yeah, the plug was perfect.
Yeah, this might be a special one.
Bob?
Hello?
Hi, Bob, it's Hattie. Are you going to post this somewhere for us to listen to?
That's an interesting idea. If everybody doesn't mind being heard,
I'll go for it.
Yeah, we should post these. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Was there anything?
Why not?
Well, what about the Hitler talk? That might look good.
Yeah, fine. If it's too offensive when you listen to it, Bob, get rid of it. But I think it's okay.
No, I'm not going to edit it. It's what it is.
Yeah, no.
I haven't got time to re-listen to it.
If somebody can get past the first hour of it, then the Hitler part's not going to bother them.
it was no good place, really.
It's not to pick up towards the second hour as well. So, yeah.
Okay, well, that's a good idea. I never thought of that. But here's the thing is that normally I have to do a taping an hour after cash flow with a guy in London. And so I thought it was only going to be an hour, but he canceled the last minute, which was good since this is the inaugural. But I don't know, next week it might only be an hour. I don't know. Unless, okay, so that it may not be as long next time, or every now and then it could be longer when I'm not doing the London thing,
okay.
Right? Is everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
That's
fine.
That's good. Okay, well, all right, then I'll post it on the How Ionic in the Here and Now section, and where we always have the cash flows, and then we'll be able to say, and the, what do we call it, the backstage party? Backstage groupies. Said it's a tailgate party. Is that what you were saying, James?
Yeah.
Oh, a tailgate party. That's the technical term.
Party.
No, is that what you were saying? Were you saying tailgate, James?
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, well, that's Carol's contribution. Well, why are you saying tailgate, Carol?
That's the party out in the parking lot after the concert.
Oh, the and you made up that term tailgate?
No.
Oh, it's actually what, yeah, because college kids, they drink beer out in the parking lot. Okay, tailgate party. Okay, that's what we're going to call tailgate party.
Yeah, I have my Chardonnay here.
What did Angela say?
Oh, I've been enjoying my Chardonnay during this, so it's a perfect tailgate party.
Okay, good. All right, Pam, have you been enjoying anything?
Oh, the whole topic and some Chardonnay, yes.
Oh, that's Pam who said Chardonnay. I thought it was Angela.
Angela's the Irish girl.
What'd she do?
She's the Irish girl.
Oh, I know. So only Pam stated the drink. Okay, only one person said she had something.
Everyone else is five up. Angela's Danny Bobby's giving so much
fun. Right, now what's happening is Carolyn's friends, two female friends, are having a big picnic right here in the front room while they're listening.
Everyone came on.
Yeah. They always go to the pool every Wednesday with Carolyn. And they came here and we were on, so they joined in. And Ion has been wanting to talk to Barbara for a long time.
Yeah.
I think that's the first time Barbara Ann talked to her. Talked to him, right, Barbara Ann?
Right.
Yeah. So he had a special message for Barbara Ann. And when I say...
Yeah, Bob, who was that? Who was it that talked to her?
That was Kent. A very influential person in Barbara Ann's life, who had just transitioned a few months ago. And had a big impact on Barbara Ann, so it was important what Ion said, right? Or what Kent said through Ion. It was very important. And that was great. And, you know, we were going to end, but Ion knew Barbara Ann was there. He said, wait a minute, we can't end. We have to talk to Barbara. So that was me. I tell you, Carol and I are under constant surveillance with Ion. He sees everything we do, constantly.
No privacy. Well, excellent. Should we wrap it up here then, Bob?
I think so. I'm really glad everybody showed up. It was really good. It was fun.
Awesome, man.
It's always fun with Ion. I have no problem saying Ion is the best guy happening. The best thing that's ever been happening. He's so funny.
I agree.
And did you notice the range of topics today? Holy cow, what Ion goes into.
That's why I think it'll make a good podcast.
What does that mean, a podcast?
Oh, no. when you can download your show.
No, I know. Okay. Podcast. I know that. I'm talking about cash flow.
Cash flow, it's already happening.
It's a podcast already, right?
Yeah, exactly.
See, you're saying it would make a good podcast. Well, of course.
Well, no, this particular additional tailgate party.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about the show. I'm just asking, look, you listened to that cash flow we did today. Did you hear the range of topics that I uncovered?
It's unbelievable.
And this miracle is happening here. It will be interesting when more people find out about it.
That's exactly right. What happens then?
I just marvel at the range that Ion can go into at any topic. I mean, you had very complex medical stuff discussed with Carolyn there.
Yeah.
And then he goes into some other thing. So... I'm just reminding you, this is pretty phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're all tired after that now. We're like sort of warming down, going, oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. And the tailgate party, he did.
Lovely to meet you all.
What'd you say?
It was lovely to meet you all.
Yeah, likewise, Angela.
Angela?
Yeah.
What did Angela say?
She said it was lovely to meet us all.
Oh, great. Yeah, well,
and you're all legends.
Welcome. Glad to have you here, and keep coming in. The thing is that we could go with Ion for 24 hours. That's an amazing thing.
That's scary.
As I said to my friend the first few weeks after Ion showed up, I said, Ion's a monster. Ion's a friendly monster.
It's very has to fight.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Darren has to navigate.
Okay, what'd she say, James?
Learn to navigate.
Navigate. Who's learning to navigate, us or Ion?
Everyone.
That's right, everyone.
Yeah.
There's this great... Hey, Chad, are you still there? Maybe Chad left.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah,
I'm here.
That David Blaine YouTube is fantastic. That is so amazing, you know, the David Blaine thing. We should somehow email James, the Angela, everybody, and then how can you get that YouTube out of it? It's that five body. I can't find it on YouTube. If we can find it, we can send it around to people, because that really summarizes life with Ion. Right, Chad?
You're the one with everybody's email address, so I'll send you the link to the YouTube video, and then you can pass it on to your list.
Yeah, I did put David Blaine. Yeah, I went into YouTube. I saw there's a couple others, but I didn't see that particular one. It's probably up there, but I didn't have time to look. So yeah, send me that particular one where he goes to those guys and he ends up in the video, the baby video. So we can give it to James, and James can send it to Angela and everybody. It's fantastic.
Will do.
It's a humorous. It's like Ion, right? It's like Ion the way that what he does. Well, it's like
When I saw it, I thought it reminded me of some of the things that I'm starting to notice, appearances like that.
Yeah, David Blaine, is he a well-known comedian?
Not a comedian.
Yeah, he's a magician, illusionist. He's an illusionist. He's very well-known.
Oh, okay. So that should be a signature video, because Chad posted, and then I said, yep, that's what's like living with Ion. And then I said, and soon to be everybody else's life with Ion. Yeah, so anybody reports any interesting effects after this, let us know.
I've been buzzing all day, Bob, so I think I'm worn out. It's 10 to 9 here, and we sort of stay up all night in the morning. It's 10 to 9 in the morning here, so...
Wow.
James and I, he's upstairs, I'm downstairs, and we've been up.
Is this Roger speaking?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, have you been talking to us the last half hour?
That's five hours.
I live in the same house as James. He's been there the whole night, Bob. I just sound like James. You think it's me sometimes.
Oh, I thought you said James went upstairs, like, you know, 10 minutes ago or 20 minutes ago. No,
I live upstairs. He's got a room upstairs, I'm downstairs.
Okay, so anyways, this is all very clear. It's all obvious, everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so great to meet you, Angela. We'll hear everybody, Pam, everybody back next week.
Yeah, excellent.
That's great. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
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 Oh, you already turned it off, Carol?
The speaker.
Oh, I turned the wrong one, so...